Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
The year has gone so quickly, but we thank God for the far that He has brought us. It's been a year of faith over fear, and God has been faithful, hasn't He? Wow. Well, I want to share a very short message with you today as we celebrate Christmas time. And let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless your word. And as we get to hear from your word around the story of this season, I pray it will encourage us and it will inspire us to continue placing our faith and hope in this baby Jesus whose birth we celebrate at Christmas time. So we give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Christmas is very exciting because of the many things that happen. At Christmas time is where you get to see many animals that get free rides on borders. Have you seen those? I mean, people with chickens, with all kinds of stuff, because people want to celebrate. And that's the response. The city gets excited. Yesterday I saw some pictures of huge crowds in downtown shopping for Christmas. Then I was listening to the BBC, and they were talking about how scientists are responding to Christmas, and they're trying to look at the Earth, the planet Earth, from their space stations. And so they see lots of lights, because it's a time when we light up Christmas trees, people light up buildings. And then this person said, actually, if you want to be visible by the space stations, you need to have at least 2,000 lights on your house. And that's incredible. And then they started to call it that, you know, there's a challenge. There's what they call light pollution. There's all kinds of things. And so they are concerned about light pollution. When it comes to Jesus, the light of the world, there's nothing like light pollution. He's the light solution to the darkness that is in our lives. That's why we celebrate. Hope has come. Like we sang, hope which was lost now stands renewed in the birth of this person called Jesus. No wonder we celebrate. So I encourage you, go all out and celebrate responsibly, all right? We gotta get into the next year. Hope which was lost now stands renewed. And I want to continue with the theme of hope, because these past 4 weeks we've been talking about Jesus, our hope for salvation, Jesus, our hope for daily living, Jesus, our hope for the nations. Only Jesus is the hope for the nations. And today we just want to crown the series by celebrating Jesus, our hope has come. And I talked about how we respond today to hope has come. And what I want to do, I just want to go back into the Bible and see how some of those people celebrated Jesus' birth. Now, these stories we're going to read from the Bible are those who were actually there when Jesus was born. For us, we do it in terms of memory and celebration, but these were people who were actually there. And we can pick a leaf on how to make our Christmases more significant as we celebrate today. So I want to start with a gentleman called Simeon and how he responded. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel," because they were going through some oppression. They were going through seasons of no hope. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." God had spoken to this man that he wouldn't die until he saw Jesus. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, led by the Holy Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, to dedicate Jesus, he took him up in his arms. He blessed God, Simeon, blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting," he took him up in his arms and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon's response says this to me. If God has given you a promise, it may delay, but you can count on him to fulfill his promise. That's why we have hope. We have reason to trust God. We have reason to trust God to fulfill his word. That's what Jesus' birth reminds us of, that he was a promise fulfilled. And like Simeon, Simeon held the baby, little baby Jesus, in his arms, and he said, "Now my eyes have seen your promise for salvation." You've waited for some things to happen in your life. I pray for you as you celebrate Christmas. There will come a day where you will hold the promise of God in your hands and say, my eyes have seen the restoration of my family. My eyes have seen my business come through. My eyes have seen the job I've been longing for. My eyes have witnessed God provide for us in such amazing ways. Do not lose hope. Jesus' birth reminds us that God can be trusted to fulfill his promise. In Jesus' name. Let's look at Anna's response. Now, I love Anna. It says, still in Luke chapter 2, it says, while Simeon was still there prophesying over Jesus prophesying over Mary and Joseph and the baby, Anna walked up to them and burst forth with a great chorus of praise to God for the child. She was excited, and from that day forward, she told everyone in Jerusalem who was waiting for their redemption that the anticipated Messiah had come. She celebrated. She sang. And that's why I want to encourage you this Christmas time, celebrate hope that has come. Don't hold back. Celebrate this hope. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. When God fulfills something in your life, begin to celebrate. And that's what happened for Anna. She burst into song. Yesterday, my family joined our neighbors, and they invited some of their family over. Very unusual, because they just said, hey, why don't you come? We're going to have a few snacks. And so we got there, and they had prepared a whole song list of Christmas carols, because the hosts' children live around the world and so come back for Christmas, and it's usually a short season, either 5 days or so. So we had people from Canada, from the UK, from Barbados, all coming home, and they said, you know what, we are going to sing. And I said, this is looking really good. We had our version of cantata right there. And so it was such an awesome thing to sing some of those Christmas carols with people that are still on a journey to embrace Jesus. But even in that journey, they were still celebrating. And we sang, and it was fun. And because we are all not musical, we had the aid of other people leading us by digital means. So we put on the music, and we sang. Then we ate, and we were telling stories. And because there's a reason to sing, that's one way we celebrate. And as we're taught, we do the cantata as a way to celebrate. I want to encourage you, celebrate. Never let the things that have happened to us through the year stop us from celebrating Jesus. We have a reason. As long as we have breath, we need to celebrate. Let me tell you about Anna. Anna was married for only 7 years, and then her husband died. 7 years is when she was beginning to think life is beginning. We now have a happy family, and there she goes, disaster. And she didn't get married. And at 84, she would have been one of those who'd have said, why are you celebrating? See, you lost your husband. You've been a widow for all this time. No need to celebrate. And widows those days used to struggle. But Anna tells us, no circumstance must ever stop us from celebrating the birth of Jesus, because Jesus speaks about hope that has come. No wonder Anna burst into song. I know the year may have been tough, but don't let the year stop you from celebrating Jesus. As long as you're alive, there is a tomorrow. And because you trust Jesus, hey, you can count that tomorrow will be better than today. We can count on it. So we have reason to celebrate. Hope has come. So first, we trust God because he fulfills his promise. But we also celebrate God because he's a promise keeper. He will fulfill his promises. Thirdly, I want to talk about the wise men, the Magi. How did they respond? And what can we learn from them? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and to the second verse. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Herod was the king those days. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Any people here from eastern Uganda? Oh, a number of you. You are wise people from the east. But what made them wise isn't just that they were from the east. This is just about where they came from, all right? We're going to see why they were wise. All right? So wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Not who has been voted king of the Jews. He was born king already. King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. What makes you wise is your worship for the King of Kings. When you know who deserves your worship, wisdom is there. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not going to school. You can go to school, you can read books. That's all great. But the Bible says it's only those who have learned to fear God that are wise. The reason they are called wise men is they traveled afar looking for this baby that was born king. Not so that they would write about him, but so that they would worship him. This Christmas season, I want to encourage you. Carry an attitude of worship. Worship this king. Worship King Jesus. These were dignified people. By the time they recognized them as wise men, they were dignified people. And you can see it from the fact that they had access to King Herod. You didn't just have access to a king. By the time they came and had access to the king, following this star, they came to the political leader then, the king, Herod, and said, we are looking for a king that has been born. King Herod missed an opportunity of saying, man, I gotta join you, and we go. Instead, King Herod said, man, if you find him, come back, let me know. But his motive was to get rid of Jesus. Somehow, I believe King Herod had already heard about the unusual things that had already happened around the supernatural birth of Jesus. And he probably was saying, well, those are just their people telling stories. But when the wise men came to him and said, we are looking for a king, to King Herod, he knew this is no longer just some fable or story. This is true. And because he was threatened, he felt like, no, I must get rid of this baby. That shows us why Jesus is so supernatural. Because very rarely will you find political leaders going to attack babies that are born. You never find them. No, they are usually dealing with people who are in the opposition or who are whatever. That's what they're dealing with. They never go to hospital to say, is there a child who has been born here who is supposed to be this? But because Jesus' birth was so supernatural, it shows you even the king who was political paid attention to that king that was Jesus that was born. And I want to challenge people here in our leadership. You have authority. You have a level of dignity. Wherever you are working, Never let your position make you too proud to worship this king. Wise people have learned to worship Jesus. And we better do it now. Because if you don't do it now, there is still coming a day when you will do it. Because one day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So if you want to be wise, learn to worship the King. Worship the King. Worship the King. Worship the King. The wise men teach us we are never too knowledgeable or dignified to worship Jesus. We need to worship him. I love the song we sang. I give my life to honor him. Give your life to honor him. Final one is the shepherds. How did they respond and what can we learn from them? We already read a portion of the scripture, but I'll just complete what we read when it says in Luke 2 from verses 13 to 20, suddenly the angel that had announced to them the birth of the Son was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, all of heaven was rejoicing. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I love that. Their response was to tell everybody. Here's what I want to encourage you to do this season. Tell everybody that Jesus, our hope, is the one we celebrate. It's not just happy holidays. It is Christmas time, where we are reminded about the birth of our Savior. And for the shepherds, they couldn't hold it. They went and spread the good news about the birth of Christ. And the Bible says everyone that heard them was astonished. Now please understand. How many of you, if you met a shepherd today, a person looking after animals, and they came and told you something supernatural had happened, how many of you would believe them? In those days, shepherds were not such significant people in society. They were looked down upon. These were the dropouts who now have to just look after animals of those who have made it in life. That was their lot in life. But the angels appeared to those that were looked down on and brought the good news. You see, the power of the message is not so much in the messenger. The power of the message itself is sufficient. And so do not be afraid to tell this good news. You don't have to be powerful to share the good news. All you need to do is to just be one who has experienced Jesus. And you qualify to tell this good news. The power, like someone once said, is in the seed of the gospel. So you just go and share, Jesus, our hope is born. Regardless of who you are, never say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not this, I don't feel like I qualify. Anybody that has an encounter with Jesus as their Lord and Savior has the authority to share their experience. And when you share your experience, listen, God Almighty takes your simple experience and begins to draw men to himself and women to himself. So this Christmas time, don't be shy. When you join in with people and celebrate with family, and maybe it's your turn, and they say, make a wish. Don't just make a wish. Tell people, before I make a wish, let me tell you, whatever I wished for is found in the person called Jesus. My hope has come. My desire is everyone in the family, if you can ever experience this hope, leave it at that. Don't try to convince. Don't try to do all of those things. The power is not in you, the messenger. The power is in the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's share this good news. That's how they responded. Simeon shows us that God is trustworthy. We can trust him. Anna reminds us to celebrate because hope has come. The wise men show us that if you're truly wise, you will worship this baby whose birth we celebrate. The shepherds remind us never to keep the good news with ourselves. We must tell the world that Jesus is our hope. Amen. Hope has come.
Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.